Heavenly Father, we thank you for this evening. We thank you for this time that we can be together. And Heavenly Father, we do pray indeed that you would have your way with us tonight. Open our ears, Lord, that we may hear what you have to say to us. Open our eyes, Lord, that we may be able to hear what you have to say to your church. And Father, we thank you that we are part of those that are called according to your purpose. Father, we thank you that we are a chosen generation, Lord. And Father, when we think about that word chosen, Father, we just stand in awe that we are blessed by the higher, Lord. And Father, we thank you that many are called, but few are chosen. And Father, we thank you that you delight in your children and that your children would please you. And so, Father, even as we prayed earlier, as Sandy prayed, I just want to thank you, Lord, that as it states in 2 Kings chapter 6, that when Elijah prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elijah. So, Father, I pray, Lord, that you would open our eyes that we may see into the spiritual,
yes, Lord,
into the heavenlies, Father, that what we may see is not what is in the natural, but, Father, that which is your kingdom, Lord, and that it may be established in our hearts, that we may be able to see and comprehend with all the saints what it is that you have for us and what you want us to do. Father, we pray in the mighty name of Jesus that you would have your way with us. Amen.
Amen.
So, you know, I was just thinking about tonight and what I wanted to really talk about, and is that God's purpose revealed in his word. You know, when you think about it, that the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword, and it cuts and it divides. It cuts the bone from the marrow, and it divides that same thing, and that between flesh and the spirit. And so we need to have the word in our hearts. We need to have the word live in our hearts so that it may penetrate into the lives, not in our only our lives, but into the lives of those whom we have to do with. And so if you're in any sober, and there's only men on the call tonight, praise the Lord. That's not right. Not praise the Lord for that, but you know what I mean. I can speak directly, as it were. If you're sober-minded and you look and even think about God's greatness, his power and his wisdom manifested in the brilliance of all creation, we wouldn't just have difficulty in accepting that God would have left his perfect plan in place to bring about a desired objective. And so surely God holds the power to establish a means of communicating with those who are to be part and to be able to participate in his plans. And so this should not be difficult for man to accept that the miraculous presentation and preservation of the Bible, in other words, the words of God, is a desired means of the revelation of his direction and his plans and his conditions set out for us. So there is an amazing story told of how the books of the Bible were inspired and were written. And also this divine way that these books had been preserved through the ages. And you can go and look into the history of that. And even here, where we're in the saints, the land of saints and scholars, how even this place was part of that preservation. And so, you know, it was kept miraculously. And even though much effort was put in place in endeavor to completely destroy the scriptures over time and over period, yet God miraculously kept and preserved. And why? So Jesus, just in a few words, captured the power of the Word of God through whatever way he chose to communicate. And that is, as he said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall never pass away. So with God's vast wisdom, where he displays in his creation, and it's an amazing creation, who we are and what he made. And so man must conclude that God holds the power to know all things. He knows the past, he knows the present, and he knows the future. And because God is omniscient, in other words, he knows everything and he's everywhere, he holds the power and plan in the future. In other words, ahead and also long before time. And in his word, God makes it clear that he knew every soul by name even before the foundation of the world. Now that might not be the name that your parents gave you, but that's the name that is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And that will still be revealed to us. So Ephesians 1, 3 to 6 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. According to that he has chosen in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. And having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved." And so just to clarify that the word used in verse 5, which is predestinate, lots of controversy has been made around that. And the Greek word that is used here is parizo. And pro, meaning that beforehand, and even though the osio, which is added to that, the combined meaning of it is to be determined before or foreordained. In short, ordained as being children of God by Jesus Christ, the work that he did, to do his will. So the Lord preordained that the Lord Jesus Christ would do the Father's will, in that also we have been called and to be established in the will of the Father to do his will. And so valiant men have the courage to dare to examine the scriptures and to even to get immersed in the word, and to do that in the view to become acquainted with God, as he said, he desires and he has planned specifics for those who seek him. And seeing God knew each person from before the foundation of the world, and knowing that the soul of mankind is extremely valuable to God, surely we must conclude that God has purpose for each soul. It is the purpose that he has declared in his word. And so as wise word that was spoken by Balaam, as he stated in the Old Testament, where he said, "God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent." And which is in Numbers 29, verse 3. So God has declared his purpose for man and searches to find the man that will take him at his word and to act upon it in simple faith. And so Isaiah writes concerning the man that God looks for, where he says, "To this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite heart or spirit." And then it goes on to say, "And who trembles at my word." And that's Isaiah 66, verse 2. So God is looking for servants, and he's looking for those that have a servant heart, who's willing to stand for his righteousness. Those who will humble themselves and wait until God lifts up that person. James 4:10, when it says, "And I dare say that the word of God needs to be preached that the heart will tremble." So when delivered in spirit and truth, faith will be delivered to willing, fertile hearts. And those hearts are the hearts that are humble to receive the word. And it is faith, as we know, that pleases God. And we are those that are called by God as valiant men, and that need to arise and take God at his word and act upon it. And because the entire Bible has been inspired, written and preserved by God for the sake of humanity, in this purpose that man must commit himself to become familiar with the word of God. And our relationship with God is based upon our objective, our obedience, and our commitment to God's word. So Paul summarizes the benefits of coming under and subjecting yourself to the influences of God by his word, and the purposes of God's word in 2 Timothy 3:16 to 17, where it says, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." And notice that this scripture is preceded by verse 14, as we are encouraged to continue in the faith, ensuring that we get our counsel and direction from the right source. This is critical. And that it's from those who follow Christ and whose fruit is evident in their lives. So we need to mark those who stand for truth and who bear much fruit. And so 2 Timothy 3:16 to 17 is that scripture. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, in other words, for teaching, for reproof, for correction, in other words, to point us. It's a sharp-edged sword that trims us to make sure that we stay in the faith. It's for correction so that we be preserved and that we be directed in the righteousness of Christ. And so in verse 17, it says that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So the verse just before that is in verse 14, and we're going to go where we're encouraged to continue. And that is in 2 Timothy 3:14 to 15, where it says, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from the child thou hast knowest the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Jesus Christ." So here, when he's talking about the child, as in Timothy, from his young age. However, as we begin our walk with the Christian walk, and even as we continue, we need to continue to desire the sincere milk of the word that we may grow thereby. And as we go on Thursday nights, I think I will go into that study again, God willing. But just the importance of understanding what Paul was doing. He's admonishing a still younger, well, not so young anymore, but now an older Timothy, knowing the importance of the Word of God and instructing him to study the Word as he goes in 2 Timothy 15 and study to show thyself approved. This is in 2:15, just before 13, chapter 3. Sorry, let me just get that right. 2 Timothy chapter 3 is what we've just been reading now. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, just before 2 Timothy chapter 3, he says, study to show yourselves approved unto God, a workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And so those men who are sincere about their relationship with God and intent on fulfilling his will and the purpose for their life will be sure to avoid allowing themselves to be distracted by anything that this life has to offer that will interfere with God's intended purpose for their lives. And it seems that for ages that the devil has blinded men to the real purpose of what they have been called unto and has robbed them of their identity as they have been created as being after the image of God and beguiled by the offers of the temporal world instead of being focused on God's word, looking unto all other sources for some fulfillment, even to the extent of heaping unto themselves false doctrines because of their itching ears. And dare I say, lazy ears, because, you know, they don't go and study and therefore no fulfillment is in their lives, because it's in the world and that's what the world offers. And it's time for real men to arise, pursue the eternal purpose that was in the heart of God for us right from the beginning of time when he first created man. And so we men must respond to the glory and to the truth that God has purpose for our lives, and may I say, especially for the man of God. And we have witnessed men that have fallen and failed in their calling, and especially those who are married, who have abandoned their Christ loving care for their wives. What chance does a wife have to be what God intended her to be when the husband is failing to be what God purposed for him to be? So there's a complete breakdown in God's order and the power of his word in the man's life. So for the plan of God to be realized, men need to understand that God's design requires that there be a marriage partnership between the man and the woman in God's order if both of their functions as husband and wife purpose is to be realized. And the key purpose of God's creation was in his image. It was the focal point and prime objective of God's creative power has always been the human creature. And in the beginning, God said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness, Genesis 1:26. So we need a Holy Ghost revelation and with a sober mind that understands this purpose and this position in creation that would create in us a hunger to treasure both the position and authority that nests upon us. The Apostle John reflecting upon the heart of the gospel of Jesus, where he states in 1 John 3 verse 1, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. It is the valiant man that recognizes and responds to the truth that our very presence here on earth is the result of the grace of God that conceived the soul and spirit that we are, for the express purpose of God's eternal glory.
Amen.
May God stir our hearts to arise valiantly in the response to the call of our Creator and to shun the subtle seductions of the enemy of our soul.
Mm.
And so ultimately display the wisdom of God that can emanate from us, that can be committed to its demonstration of how we surrender to the purpose, to the call of God upon our lives. We should not only consider the glory and the privilege of having the call of God upon our lives, but the truth is to also consider the consequence of rejecting such a holy call upon our lives. Because he who's called you is holy. 2 Timothy 1, 8-9. Be not therefore ashamed of the testimony of the Lord, nor me, his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his purposes and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. And so just two words out of that that I would like to extract: afflictions. First of all, the Greek word for that is soukankakeo. I'm not pronouncing that right, I know that, but it's something like that, which means suffer hardship in company with. So what it really means is not to do it alone. It's we partake of afflictions because of our union with Christ. And so this unity speaks as the image, and I'm going to go into that a little bit into the study as well, between Christ and the church. We are married to the Lord Jesus Christ. And even as the picture in the husband and the wife relationship as well, is that two are better than one when you're going through the afflictions that come as a call, because what are you called to in Christ Jesus? And believe you me, in Christ, and if you're in Christ, the afflictions come. Then the next thing is that there is power available unto us because of the infusing, not only of the Spirit of Christ, but the Holy Ghost revelation in our lives, the holy calling upon our lives. And so this power is that dunamis power. Like my friend Warren Dunlop says, and he says it so well, he says, you've got power! It's strength and it's violent power. It's dynamite and it's going to explode. And it's because we need this power in us to do wonderful works. Miraculous power that will do unbelievable things if we just dare to trust God at his word. So God makes it very clear that God created man to be leaders and to take their positions as head of family, or as it were, of the house. When man fails and loses direction, it leaves the woman with little hope. And the downside is, unfortunately, because sin's impact upon man, man is isolated in his position and relationship with woman in the context of this temporal world and time that we are living in at the moment. And however, there is this great thing which is but God. And from the beginning, he has always been working an eternal plan and purpose in his mind. And we as valiant men must see our relationship with women through the eyes of God. Through God's word, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, we are united in the desire to work. They are, the three Godhead bodily, are designed to work with us as men to fulfill their divine purpose, and it's an eternal purpose. And it should be, as it is, a shame when we shun the desires and the power that is available from our Creator and despise that the leadership that He has for us, that God wants for us to equip us, instead of being led by the power of darkness into temporal pleasures in this life that shall soon fade away. Sin has taken its toll and defiled the creature, and the divine power and the leadership that man should be in. And like I said, however, but God, through the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, He has brought us hope. And today we live under grace. Even today, the grace of God offers every man the gift of salvation. And this salvation includes the forgiveness of our past failures and restoration to become the creature of God intended us right from the beginning. Where are the men? And God indeed is calling every one of us who will arise and say, "Here I am, send me, Lord." We need those who will stand up and be counted with the ones who will cross the line and be on the side of the Lord. And sadly, there are not many at this point today. How many churches do we go in? And there's hardly even men there. It's just packed with women of faith. Now, I'm not saying that's the case everywhere, but, you know, we need to have the Lord working in the hearts of men in our land. And just as young Samuel was called in 1 Samuel 3, and the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. That's what the word says in 1 Samuel 3. So the word was precious, but there was no vision given. And God wants to give us a revelation of the vision that we are supposed to be in our holy calling. We need to have dreams and vision, as Joel said. You know, the thing is that here Samuel is a young lad, and the only thing they have is the word. And as it was available into those days, the word was precious, extremely valuable. And today we have been called to contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. We called to honor and to uphold the truth of the word and live by faith. As faith is derived from the word of God, and when the word becomes alive in our hearts, we hear the shepherd's voice, that we may have ears to hear what the Lord is saying to his church, his people. And in 1 Samuel 3:10, it says, "And the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, 'Samuel, Samuel.' Then Samuel answered, 'Speak, for thy servant heareth.'" We have been freely received. We should also be available to freely give. So we need to hear. And how do we hear? Well, it comes by receiving. And it comes by receiving the word of God, by reading and hearing. We need to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Rise up, rise up, rise up and take your stand. Because when God spoke to Samuel, he said in Samuel 3:11, "And the Lord said to Samuel, 'Behold, I will do a new thing in Israel, at which both the ears of everyone that heareth, it shall tingle.'" We have been called to preach the word in this season that we're in at the moment. A word of faith and a word packed with truth and spirit that will burn in the hearts of the hearers. Yes, amen. It's that word that's going to turn this world for God and to God. Turn men back to the Lord and back to their calling in Christ Jesus. And so, even as in Acts, those chosen men were sent in Acts 15:25, it seemed good unto us, being assembled with one accord, to send chosen men unto you, which is our beloved Barnabas and Paul, men that have hazarded their lives for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And anyone, and in other words, what it means is that they purpose themselves just for Jesus. And it says in 27, we sent therefore Judas and Silas, who shall also tell you the same things by my mouth, for it seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us to lay upon you no great burden than these necessary things. In other words, they were contending about stuff there. But the main point here is that when we go in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, not in our own strength. We need to rely on the elders and the apostles to send us when we are needed for the work of the Lord. God is the God of order. And you can go and read that in 1 Corinthians 14, and specifically in verse 33, where it says, God is not the author of confusion, but of peace in all the churches of the saints. You see, the Lord wants to bring about order. How does he bring about order? It's through the word, because that's Jesus who will establish people on the rock of their salvation, Christ Jesus. The scripture here specifically is after the order of speaking in tongues and prophecies, and that goes in what needs to be taught but is often avoided. And it's each member's place in the body of Christ to know the order of God. And I think we will carry on there next week. I've shared enough for tonight. And I'm starting to get a little bit too emotional, I think. Praise the Lord. I'm just going to ask Sandy to close in prayer for us. And then we will have a time of fellowship and some questions and answers and testimonies. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this time that we could spend this evening under the sound of your word. Thank you, Father God, that your word is living and sharp and active, sharper than a two-edged sword. Father God, thank you that the light of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, shines before us and we walk therein.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord, for the full armor of God, which we place on our bodies every morning as we arise, Lord, because we realize that we are living in times of immense darkness, immense confusion, immense deception, and immense fear. Mm. Therefore, Father God, we need the weapons of warfare as never before.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you, Father God, that you give every one of us on this call tonight and around our kitchen table here in Bangor eyes to see things spiritually and ears to hear things spiritually. Thank you, Father God, that your living word, your Yeshua HaMashiach, pricked our hearts tonight, and that you are working with each one of us, men on the call, and Margaret and myself at the table, Lord, in a very, very deep and supernatural way. Father God, we declare that your thoughts are higher than our thoughts.
Amen.
And your ways are higher than our ways. It has always been so since the very beginning, and it will always be so until the end of time. And so, Father God, tonight with great joy, we bow the knee before your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus, we declare that you are King, you are Lord, you are Messiah, you are Redeemer, you are Healer, you are our elder brother, and you are the one who sticks closer than our brother.
Mm.
Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you always have our back. As your children and as your siblings, you always have our back.
Yes, Lord.
We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your intervention. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for your kindness and your love and your compassion for every man and every woman on the face of the earth in this dispensation of grace that we still find ourselves in. And so, Father God, I pray for my brothers on this call. I pray for every one of us, Lord, that you would strengthen us. Lord, let the men have hearts of valor. Lord, let the woman have hearts of valor. Lord, let our courage tanks be at capacity in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Lord, strengthen us in the inner man and strengthen our bodies. Let vitality, energy, and zest arise in our mortal frames.
Amen.
Fix our eyes on that eternal Zion, Lord, that we may move forward in the light of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and empowered and strengthened and encouraged and comforted on a daily basis by your Holy, on a daily basis, Lord, by your Holy Spirit.
Yes, Lord.
Father God, we pray that you would use our hands and our feet and our mouths in this pay decade, this decade of the spoken word, Lord, in unprecedented ways. Lord, strengthen us. Tune us into the voice, your still small voice, Father God, that we might be those who move forward with fortitude, with courage, and to speak words of life into our brothers and sisters' circumstances in and out of season, in and out of conversation, daily, Father God. Let us be those who are speaking words of life, comfort, hope, redemption, reconciliation, forgiveness in your strength and in your power. Not by power nor by might.
Yes, Lord.
But by my Spirit, says the Lord. Father God, let your will be done and let your kingdom come in our lives. Father God, let your will be done and let your kingdom come in our relationships, our marriages, our families, our neighborhoods, our villages, our towns and our cities. Father God, let your will be done and let your kingdom come on the island of Ireland.
Yes,
Father God, let your will be done and let your kingdom come in the British Isles. Father God, let your will be done and let your kingdom come in the Ukraine. Lord, we surrender all to you, and we pray that you shine your marvelous light before us in these days ahead, Lord, that we might make advances, Lord, that we might move forward, Father God, that we might be a victorious and a triumphant people, Lord, as we know that we are on the side of the victor. We are on the side of him who declared, Tetelestai, it is finished. Jesus, the battle belongs to you, but we raise our hands, we raise our left hand and we raise our right hand, and we say we are here to take up our part in your army, Lord Jesus. Strengthen us, move us forward, use us mightily in this hour, Lord, even as history draws to a close. Father God, bless every man and woman that is a part of this call tonight, and every man and woman who will hear this word in the days and weeks to come, thanks to the incredible technology that we have in this time, in this age, Lord. We pray your blessing, Father God.
Amen.
We pray, Lord Holy Spirit, that you would be the after preacher.
Amen.
And that you would speak to us tonight, Lord, in visions and in dreams. Let the men in our midst dream dreams and let them have visions, Father God. And let them be ready tomorrow morning to pen those visions down and to pen those dreams down. And under your guidance to share those dreams and those visions with those who are mature and have insight and have discernment. So that revelation may be shared in our midst, Father God.
Amen.
That faith may be built in our midst, Father God. That faith may arise, Father God. That our vision would become keener and our hearing would become keener, Lord. Let your will be done and let your kingdom come.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are building your church and the gates of Hades shall not prevail.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord Jesus, that regardless of what it looks like in the natural, you are building your church and the gates of Hades shall not prevail.
Right.
All honor and all glory to you, King Jesus.
Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Amen.